Hello, you awakening wonders. Thanks for joining us on this voyage to truth and freedom. We're not going to...
Not trees.
Could be. On the way. One out, out there. Lovely. We had Zelensky out there once. I miss that guy.
Yeah.
Where's he gone? Don't hear about him anymore.
Surprise appearances. He's doing some of those.
Surprise appearance from Zelensky. Hey, we've got a great week this week. We've got Richard Dawkins coming on the show later in the week. I've already done it. Members of our locals community, if you want to join that, you can press the red button. They've already seen it. I was just with Richard Dawkins just now. And the good news is I've convinced him there definitely is a Jesus.
Oh, well done.
So that's all settled.
Well
now.
Done, because he was pretty convinced there wasn't.
No, he said that was wrong.
He's quite firm about that.
Not now. He says that was all a mistake. Right. I've seen the light, he says.
He regrets it, does he?
He wandered out of here. He asked if he could borrow one of my dressing gowns. I said, get your own, mate.
Yeah.
Get your own. Yep. Materialism, I said. This material don't come for free, baby. That's mine. Thanks. For Georgia Gale goes, what a fab jacket. Someone in L talking about their dream.
Oh, it's not a jacket. No. You may think that because he's wearing it outside
it
of the bedroom, but no, it's a dressing gown.
It's a gown. That's what I'm wearing. I like it.
Mm.
Oh, look, there he goes. Dan, go on, Dan. You can show it, mate. Can you hear me? Yeah, there I am. There's me. There's my jacket. There's my dog. You've got everything you need. That's the way I live. Hey, guess who we've got coming on the show?
Today?
Ooh, yeah.
FBI whistleblowers.
Well done. That
Thank
is
you.
It.
Thanks.
It's Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle. They are, as Gareth on-screen assistant there, has just revealed FBI whistleblowers. They're had enough of the FBI.
Mm.
That'll do.
Yeah. You've never been able to pull that off.
I can do this.
Yeah.
That was right, wasn't it?
Well, why don't you just do that with the pretend whistle next to your mouth? Much better.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's enough of that, FBI.
There you go.
Garrett O'Boyle, he'll be here. And Steve Friend. They're sick of the FBI. They've been working there. They've had enough of it. They're going to be telling us all about it. We've got a brilliant presentation on Rachel Maddow doing that military industrial complex conference funded by Lockheed Martin. And we asked some questions about the mainstream media and their relationship with the military industrial complex and whether or not it means that wars get reported on favourably, peculiarly, especially by the left, who used to be all double, let's not have a war, as I recall. Let me know in the chat in the comments if you think that the way that the media is funded, particularly through companies like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, and of course General Electric, who own MSNBC or CNN?
Comcast and MSNBC, yeah.
They actually sell weapons on the side. It's a side hustle for them. They're the 14th biggest in the world, actually. We've got loads of things to tell you. So, like, we'll be only on Rumble when we do the... sorry, my dog was panting. It's really off.
No, I know.
To hear like a...
Yeah.
It's not a noise you want in your ear.
No.
When you're trying to talk about, like, free speech.
No, you don't get that from me.
Sometimes I do.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about, like, we're going to talk to them FBI whistleblowers, and we're going to be analysing the news and stuff. Right, let's start with that. This is an ABC news report about a near miss for these warships. And it's really good how they report this. So they're like, this Chinese warship got in the way of an American warship. Where did this all take place? China? It all took place, like, really near China, didn't
it? Yeah, the Taiwan Strait.
That's which between is, China and Taiwan.
That's right. It's you could say next to China.
Like that thing, when there was that drone collision.
Yeah.
They shut down a drone in the air. Where was that air? Above the Black Sea. And what does the Black Sea touch? Russia. Right. So you're sending drones up above Russia. Yeah, we've been trying to annoy them. And all this is, of course, because of the changing economic tides that China is set to become the most economically powerful nation in the world in the next...
By 2035.
2035, or as we say in England, 25-9. So, first of all, sorry. So, but well, I'm going to do stuff like that sometimes.
Yeah,
I'm
fine.
I can't work in a dressing gown. What do you expect? Let's have a look at this warship thing. Firstly, from a perspective that makes it look really bad, and then from another perspective, makes it not look that bad at all. Let's have a look first at the bad one.
Tonight, tensions flaring after that Chinese warship nearly collided with a U.S. military destroyer.
Did you say, like, that Chinese warship?
Yeah.
That Chinese warship?
Yeah. Look at it over there.
Look at just see it?
It stinks.
Oh, God, it's not washed its ass. If you're watching this on YouTube, we'll be exclusively on Rumble in a minute, talking to a couple of... whistleblowers. Garrett O'Boyle and Stevie Friend. We'll be talking to them about... They're going to talk about January the 6th. They're going to reveal stuff that you're going to love. So you're going to want to join us over on Rumble for that.
In the Taiwan Strait, Canadian broadcaster Global News capturing the Chinese vessel cutting across the path of the American ship on Saturday.
I suppose you'd freak out if you were on it.
Right.
Like, oh my God. This is not good. A collision.
Well, that makes it look like literally they were about to crash.
Like it'll be mental.
Yeah.
Also, do you know that people always use that analogy, don't they? Like, you know, if you set off on a 1,000-mile journey on a battleship and you're just 1 degree off, by the time you reach your destination, you'll be thousands of miles off or whatever.
That's good. Was that verbatim?
That's exactly what it says. Right, okay. Actually from the Bible.
Within 150 yards of the U.S. destroyer, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin issuing a stark rebuke to...
He used to work military industrial complex, didn't he? That's Raytheon. Right. Yep. He was at...
China's government.
Do the right things to rein in that kind of conduct, because I think accidents can happen that could cause things to spiral out of control.
But over...
Isn't it?
Certainly is.
Accidents could happen.
It certainly
is. Things to spiral out of control. Joe Biden, we're talking about this a bit later as well. Joe Biden banging on about semiconductors, making their own, bombing factories, all sorts of ludicrous semi-threats. Why are you saying that like that?
No. I mean, we'll see in a minute. Seth Moulton, a Democrat congressman, who makes the threat about bombing a factory in
Taiwan.
What, he
says it outright?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see a clip.
People are saying crazy stuff, man. People are well up for war, you know. They're well up for it. It's necessary for the economy. It doesn't matter if people die and if it seems like an odd way to solve a dispute. People have got a real appetite for it.
At a security summit in Singapore, China's defense minister defended its warship, telling the United States to, quote, mind your own business. business, and calling the U.S. and Canadian military presence in the Taiwan Strait.
That's such a colloquial way.
Yeah.
That's like, probably, because he looked like he was saying something.
Exactly.
Well.
The action went with it.
Mind your own business. He said, yeah, get out of it. Like, it's really like, this is international diplomacy.
Yeah.
Mental.
A provocation. The near collision, the latest episode straining an already tense U.S.-China relationship. Just like...
We're showing you this because it's the amplification of tensions between China and the U.S. And you simply wouldn't be seeing things like this on the news unless there was an appetite for there to be some kind of conflict. If they didn't want a conflict, they wouldn't put this on the news. So it's another example of how the media supports favorable narratives.
Yep.
That support outcomes that the military-industrial complex will benefit from. And the mainstream media still somehow presents itself as the sort of arbiters of peace and morality. And a figure like Rachel Maddow, who I've told you before, I like she's on MSNBC, sort of like, and like in 2011, she said like that Congress are in the pockets of the military-industrial complex. Well, now she seems to have joined them in that pocket because she appeared at an event for Lockheed Martin. We're looking at that in more depth.
Stay free with Russell Brand. See it first on Rumble.
Joining us now are Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle. Thanks for joining us, fellas.
Yeah, thanks for having
us. Thank you very much.
All right, I see. So we've got both of you on, so we're going to have to deal with the double Zoom phenomena. First of all, Garrett, let's talk about the January 6th revelations. What in particular do you feel has caused you to get so much blowback? What is it that you have said that's caused so much consternation? What in particular did you observe about January the 6th and the FBI handling of it and FBI instigation and involvement in those protests that's caused you to find yourself in such a lot of bother?
So my January 6th example that I whistleblew about was I received a lead from the Washington field office, and it was based on an anonymous tip. So in the U.S., in law enforcement, anonymous tips don't hold a whole lot of weight, especially when there's limited information. You can't recontact the person who made the claim, things of that nature. And there's Supreme Court case law that helps dictate that. And so in mine, it was very limited info, and so I thought, okay, I'll do my best, my due diligence to run this down. And as I'm working on that for a day or two, I get some additional information from the same special agent in Washington who sent me the original lead. And they were asking me to request a federal grand jury subpoena on the person that the original lead was on, as well as a separate website where they made an illogical leap, linking a username that we had no information about and with the person that I was supposed to be investigating. So as I'm trying to figure all that out, I then get a facial recognition match. And by this point, I had already had the most current driver's license photo of my subject. And the quote unquote facial recognition match was someone who was about 150 pounds lighter and had a full head of hair, whereas the person I was investigating was bald. So I was really confused at this point, and As I dug deeper, it turned out that someone in my field office had submitted a driver's license photo that was approximately 25 years old to the people in the lab who do the facial recognition stuff. And so at that point, I was like, okay, this is really out of bounds. There's no due process being had here for the person that they want me to investigate. And eventually I was able to make contact with that person. And they told me they didn't want to talk to me without a lawyer. And they told me that they weren't breaking any law, no matter where they were on January 6th. So at that point, it was clear to me that there was no further information to keep going with this investigation. And then I contacted the person who made that facial recognition submission. And they were adamant that regardless of the age of the driver's license photo, that I had a match. And I was just completely flabbergasted at that point, because it's completely outside any constitutional norms that I had ever dealt with inside law enforcement, which I had been working in it for 8 years total. So that's my January 6th example. And I know I'm not the only one, but because Marcus Allen and Steve, they also had January 6th issues, which they whistleblew about.
You guys, the next question is for you, Steve, because this is a fair and just system, unlike the FBI, it seems. And Garrett, you can stop touching your nose because you are still on the television and we are still watching you. Now, have you become friends? I noticed that you've both got the American flag behind you. Are you mates? Do you love each other? Are you going to carry on doing this stuff, whistleblowing against the FBI? And what other nefarious activities are you aware of? But do answer those first questions about the flag and being mates first. And that's you, Steve, please, mate.
Yep, yep. Garrett and I have been acquainted basically since we both became whistleblowers last September. And it's a small network. We call ourselves the Suspendables, which we kind of did on a lark just to think of future employment opportunities. Maybe we could be mercenaries somewhere and rip off Sylvester Stallone. But apparently the New York Times found it very nefarious sounding and put it in the newspaper of record. So we have taken that mantle and you can see Garrett wearing some Suspendables gear right now.
It's cool. The FBI it's badge. Cool. Yeah, I like it. It's cool that you're having fun with it.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to laugh or you'd cry. It's been sort of an out of control bureau and the way that they've gone after Garrett and myself and many others who, you know, we came forward with the best of intentions. We didn't want to be talking to you, Russell. We just wanted to, you know, alert the people that were in a position of authority to make corrections and thought things were kind of out of whack. We wanted to go back to just doing the Joe Friday, just the facts. Let's put bad guys in jail. But unfortunately, the FBI has just become out of control at this point.
I suppose your detractors will say that you have a particular political persuasion and that you are agitators on behalf of the same movement that they would say are behind January the 6th. But actually, some of your revelations indicate that there were a considerable number of FBI operatives in that crowd who were perhaps doing more than monitoring and observing, but in fact possibly instigating and exacerbating the conditions. And there is some precedent for that.
Allegedly.
Within the FBI, numerous cases where their investigations have gone beyond investigation and have become instigation. Furthermore, as I heard you in your testimony say, Steve, the surveillance has gone beyond the observance of certain criminal acts to an ongoing cycle of surveillance that is unending and limitless. So back to you now, Garrett, because it is your turn and I'm determined to do this fairly and justly, even though it has to be said, your flag is not as big as Steve's and that makes you seem a bit unpatriotic, I'd have to say. Tell me, mate, what have you got any more information on FBI instigation on January the 6th and elsewhere?
Regarding January the 6th, there was another whistleblower whose testimony was played at our hearing. His name is George Hill, and he had some information regarding Washington field office not wanting to release a video to the Boston field office where he was working because they were concerned about revealing identities of FBI informants and or undercover employees. So I think once that revelation came to light, it became clear to everyone who already wasn't paying attention that there was most likely a heavy law enforcement presence involved with the events of that day. But it certainly is something that the FBI takes it under consideration in many different types of cases. So in the FBI, a confidential informant is known as a confidential human source, or CHS. And it's FBI policy that FBI agents have at least one CHS on the books. Many have more than one, and it's the purview of the agency to push agents to implement CHS use as often as they can. So they will never release the amount of CHSs that the agency has as a whole, but it is a considerable number, and they try to put those CHSs and undercover employees into a wide range of different type of investigations.
There's a recent story about Biden and bribery, as well as a new report or poll, at least, that suggests that the majority of Americans want the FBI to be reformed or shut down. Steve, given your recent experience, do you think reform is possible, or do you think that the entire organization needs to be disbanded and started again?
I think it's a six on one, half dozen of the other situation. I think the amount of reforms that are going to be necessary to make the FBI function properly in federal law enforcement are going to be so enormous that maybe starting all over again might just be the simpler task at this point. But I think that the elected officials are very scared of being labeled as a defund the police candidate for office. So there's all this reticence that surrounds that. But those guys just need to talk to the people that are boots on the ground, the Garrett O'Boyles, the Steve Friends, who actually worked in the FBI and can tell you that it's really all about empowering local law enforcement. That should be what the FBI prioritizes above anything else. It's this whole thought where you have a central hub in Washington, D.C., and they send out cases around the country to be worked is just farcical. All the good cases that the FBI works, they come from the police forces and the sheriff's offices where we have our small offices around the country. And we just really have to be there to support those guys, because they don't have the finances and the cool gadgets that the FBI has. And maybe thinking about it in that way might make it more palatable to the reforms that are necessary.
Thank you. Gareth, do you have a question for Steve or Garrett?
I do. Yep.
Excuse me. And remember, when you do your question, you're going to have to direct it to one, because otherwise it would be chaos.
Oh, you think not to both?
Well, how are they going to know how to answer it? What if they step all over each other?
Okay, I'll try to do that, Russell. It's difficult for me.
I'll whistleblow on you so hard!
Sure. Gentlemen, I just wanted to talk briefly about the congressional hearing and the Democrats and the way in which you've been treated by, I guess, both the FBI and the Democrats. Obviously, we know recently about the Durham report and the findings there, and also about the 278,000 illegal searches that were done by the FBI that's been reported on as well. And a sentence written by Michael Schellenberger, and I just wondered your opinions on it. He said, so why did the FBI and Democrats attack the FBI whistleblowers? Perhaps because they are revealing at a minimum the FBI's failure to stop the riot, and more maximally, its role in instigating it. And I wondered if it was going too far to suggest the FBI had a role in instigating Jan 6th, and what your thoughts were on that.
And who's that to?
Oh, that's initially to Steve.
Oh, gentlemen. Sure. Who's it? Steve, yeah.
Yeah, I think that the demand for domestic terrorism in this country by our elected officials and by leaders in the FBI vastly outstrips the supply of it. And unfortunately, the FBI essentially has a quota system that bosses get bonuses for if they open a certain number of cases. So domestic terrorism is popular and they want to open up a lot of cases. So they've contrived ways to work smarter and not harder. And as a result of that, the FBI has evolved into this intelligence-driven agency, and it deploys its informants, its confidential human sources, and its undercovers, and oftentimes infiltrates these groups that they label as possibly domestic terrorist or could become domestic terrorist. And as a result of that, you have an incident that happens at January 6th, or even on a smaller scale, the plot to kidnap Gretchen Whitmer, where it was sort of revealed in the trial for those individuals that they were essentially entrapped, that they were not predisposed to commit that offense, but because of the infiltration on behalf of the government, it's not that the government set up the group, but they infiltrated it so heavily that they encouraged these guys to do things that they were not predisposed to do. And I think that you saw that on its worst example on January 6th, where there were a lot of organizations that were there just to support Donald Trump or to protest and redress their grievances in front of the Congress, which is their First Amendment protected activity. But because there were infiltrators afoot, they encouraged them to do something that was illegal.
You are getting a lot of love here in the chat, as well as some inquiries. Georgie Gal says, presumably AI will replace the FBI. If you want to join us on Locals, just press the red button on your screen now and I can see your questions. Jim Earth C 137. They both seem like good men who are just trying to do the right thing, and yet they've been demonized. Sums up the state of the world nowadays. Wishing you both the best. Truth will prevail. Oh, Zonaxation says, it looked staged. All those unmarked grey buses that were bought in during that day contained what I believe were paid disruptors. Some people are talking about the bribe of Biden. And then True Chimera, who likes Mexican food? Not the Tex-Mex stuff, the real stuff. What's... You've gone off topic, True Chimera. Guys, can I ask you this? Like, well, you know, some people say, oh, you just like don't like the Democrat Party or something. Do you like the Democrat Party? Are you impartial? Are you MAGA folk? Are you allowed them type of affiliations in the Trump Party? Do you think that your testimony will be utilized in a partisan way? And does that concern you? What are your own political affiliations, if I may ask you? And have they led you to... You do this whistleblowing and stuff.
I'll take that one first. I would say I align more as a libertarian than anything else. In 2016, I voted libertarian across the ballot. And but especially as an FBI employee and furthermore, as an investigator, your job is to be as unpartisan as possible or nonpartisan as possible. And that's something any police academy, the FBI academy, any constitutional law course you might take, they try to teach you that and drill that into your head. But as we've seen with something like the Durham report and the Crossfire Hurricane investigation and things of that nature, it's the top echelon, especially of the FBI, that are the ones that are partisan and are seemingly having an agenda to skew the law enforcement activities one way or the other in this nation. And you know, it's incumbent on every investigator to have it at the forefront of their mind that they come from a certain background and certain experiences that have helped shape and mold them. So they have to always remember that they have their own biases. I do. Steve does. They're probably different in some ways. And that's why it's on us to always remember, okay, am I looking at this investigation or the facts that I'm discovering in this investigation as impartially as possible and following the rule of law as best as I can without my own agenda? And I think for both of us, the answer was that the FBI as a whole was the institution that was not partisan, or that was partisan rather. And that is in part is what led us to come forward. When I was deposed in February, I told both Democrat lawyers and Republican lawyers that these issues are not partisan in nature, or they shouldn't be. And then lo and behold, a few weeks later, it was the Democrat side who leaked small snippets of that testimony and tried to paint me as some deep mega operative. And that couldn't be further from the truth. And when something like that happens, it was clear to me that they are the ones with an agenda. They don't really care about the facts or substance of our protected disclosures. They care only about protecting the party, only about protecting the FBI. And that couldn't be more clear to me at this point.
Yeah, that makes sense, Garrett. The state should only be partisan in response to a democratic mandate. They should represent the will of the people. I think what you're saying is that these institutions have metastasized into their own sort of centers of authoritarianism. Throughout the pandemic, we saw the FBI's attempt to control social media spaces. That's been demonstrated now. It's pretty plain they've been acting in a partisan way across a number of issues. Steve, would you like to add anything to Garrett's previous comments? And also then, could we take it to how it's been emotionally for you since you've gone public? Has it been frightening? Have you faced any consequences? But first, are you a raving MAGA?
I think my default setting is similar to Garrett, where I'm a libertarian by nature. I like to look at each individual candidate for a particular office. I kind of view politicians as being plumbers. I just want them to solve the problem and then, you know, not really get personally attached to any one of them. I think the one thing that gets lost in the attacks that came after me from on the Democrat side during the hearing, where they tried to attribute some sort of sympathy towards a political side, I brought my whistleblower concerns forward because not because I had sympathy for the subject, but because I thought we might be putting our cases in jeopardy if it was a righteous prosecution and we were not buttoned up in what we were doing and the FBI is not following the rules. I thought we could lose a trial. And then I was also concerned that there was a public safety risk in using a SWAT team to arrest somebody who had already pledged to be cooperative with law enforcement. A simple phone call to an attorney and asked to surrender is more than adequate in that situation. So it was not because I was trying to, you know, get my fellow MAGA guy out of jail for free. I would think of myself more as a system idealist. And, I think of criminals as system disruptors that we have to push back on. And now at this point, the FBI is really the system disruptor. They're not following our rule book or not following our constitution. As far as emotionally, and just the fallout after this, it was pretty rough. I was unpaid for 150 days. The FBI denied me the ability to seek outside employment, which I requested, and they denied in one calendar day. My wife lost her job under very suspicious circumstances very shortly after I was put in unpaid indefinite suspension. The FBI leaked my private medical information to the New York Times and told them that I was accused of shooting a firearm in my backyard. And then the inspection division within the FBI also said that they tried to put a gag order on me to prevent me from speaking to an attorney or even my family about the situation. So it was a long train of abuses and eventually ended with my resignation in order to, I had a job offer on the table and had been unpaid for long enough that I had to provide for my family.
Again and again in the chat here on Locals, press the red button if you want to join. The word that is being used is brave. A lot of people are in awe of the personal sacrifices you have made as a result of your belief in liberty and justice. And it's very, very impressive that you have taken this risk and you've put yourself in a position where you can evoke so much ire and receive so much negative attention. And of course, I suppose the way that you're treated will indicate what kind of biases are present, because all of us, regardless of our political affiliations, ought be interested in justice and telling the truth and the transparency and reliability of an organization like the FBI. Steve, I liked your remark that politicians should just be like plumbers solving problems, and a lot of people picked up on that in the chat as well. I'd like to thank both of you very much for joining us today on Stay Free, and also to thank you once again for putting yourself in such a vulnerable position where you've been the subject of persecution because of your values and your personal sacrifices. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for having us.
You lovely, and aren't they lovely? How big is that bloody flag that Steve's got? It's the whole wall of his house. For God's sake, the size of it. Lots of love, guys. Thanks very much for joining us. That's fantastic. To find out more about Stephen Garrett's work, go to centerforrenewingamerica.com. Join us tomorrow. But if you're on Locals, get over there. Press the red button on your screen. Join us on Locals. We're going to have a right laugh. We'll carry on. There's vodka in here. I'm going to be like dancing like Boris Yeltsin in a minute. Join us tomorrow. Not for more of the same, but for more of the different. Until then, stay free. Switch in. Switch on, switch off, switch on, switch in, switch on, switch off, switch on. Man, switch in, switch on, switch off, switch on, switch in, switch on, switch off.